Now we enter into our time of worship where we talk about the scriptures that we've heard. And just as we encourage you in your homes as you read scriptures to be able to talk about or reflect on what God's word has to say for each of us in life, in our lives. So friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. There was a youth director from a Lutheran church, and this is a true story, who took his youth to an African Methodist Episcopal congregation, an AME congregation, to experience a different kind of worship. The youth group was all sitting in a row together, and this worship was all, it was so different than what they were used to experiencing in their own Lutheran church, that they weren't quite following what was going on. They weren't quite sure, keeping up with all that was going on. But there certainly was a lot of energy in the room. A lot of praising, hands in the air, people shouting out, you know, kind of on their own. And so in this worship, finally after about an hour of all this going on, the pastor of that congregation finally stood up. And the youth director and the youth were thinking, oh, you know, this is finally it. The pastor's standing up to end the service, maybe with a blessing and a dismissal like we're used to having in Lutheran liturgical worship. But instead, the pastor stood up, and he stood up in front of everybody and said, now that we've praised God for an hour, we're really going to start worship. So we're going to do that. No, I'm kidding. After worship, they're all gathered. You know, the Lutheran youth and the youth director, they're gathered with the pastor and a couple other people in the congregation because they're there to learn about and appreciate other traditions. So they wanted to hear, you know, why do you do what you do? What's similar to our own worship? What's different? All those kind of things. One of the youth finally got up the courage and asked the question. Why did we spend so long praising and singing and all that craziness before worship even started? Well, the pastor said, well, it takes about an hour, I figure, to forget about yourself and be able to focus on God. So we're not going to do that, but we are going to talk about what this means, this putting God at the center. And I think that as Angie said at Kids in Christ Time, all that we're about today, and I think every time we gather in worship, is really helping us to reflect on that. What does it mean to put God at the center? And part of it means sometimes forgetting about ourselves. Does it mean that we need to praise God for an hour before worship even begins? Well, we've failed so far, if that's the case. I want to suggest, though, that worship is only the beginning of it all. That worship is the beginning of our praise. Worship, in a way, fills us and teaches us and informs us to be able to lead lives of praise every day. Worship isn't the end of praise, it's just the beginning where we learn to forget about ourselves and be able to focus on God. You think about David in today's scriptures. I can almost see David singing and dancing there before the Ark of God as it was processing into Jerusalem as a show of his own desire to put God at the center of his own life and at the center of his community. David is the newly appointed king of Israel, and putting God at the center is really what has set him apart throughout the millennia now as a king of Israel, and it's what set him apart from his predecessor, the king of Israel, King Saul. In the first part of the scriptures that we heard today, in chapter 5, we heard it didn't really sound all that outstanding. It didn't sound unusual, but he began his rule as the king, setting himself apart by gathering all of the elders of Israel at Hebron, and there he made a covenant with them and with God. And that may not sound like a real big deal. We talk a lot about covenants and about promises. We hear it in the scriptures, but this is huge. For David, this is marking the beginning of his reign and saying, we as people of God want to remember that God is at the center of our lives. So here, in that moment of making that covenant, even if just for a moment, David and the people were forgetting about themselves and remembering and focusing on God, the God who first covenanted with them. So by beginning this his rule as a king with a covenant, David was saying basically, we are people of a covenant, of a promise. We are people of the word, and this word, God's word, will be at the center of our lives. And then the very next thing that we hear about that David does to move God at the center is actually, literally, physically move God to the center. As we heard at Kids in Christ, this Ark of the Covenant is a sign of God's presence for the people. And so they go and they move the Ark into Jerusalem, where Jerusalem is actually physically located a little bit more centrally to all of the people of Israel. Now, the Ark had been off to the side for quite a few decades, actually. It was kind of tucked away in a little house in a forgotten little town for about 20 years. And this is where the people are recognizing God, right? As the presence of God. This helps them remember that God is with them. And so for these 20 years, as the Ark has been abandoned and forgotten, so it also is sort of a sign of where they were with God. They had abandoned God and forgotten God. It's kind of funny how it all happened. The Philistines, they went into battle with the Philistines, and they lost the Ark to the Philistines. And during this time, while the Philistines had the Ark, all these bad things were happening, and so they thought for sure, well, the God of the Israelites is punishing us, so let's get rid of this thing. And so as soon as they could, they sort of unceremoniously just dumped it on the border there of Israel and ran off as quickly as they could get away from it. And then from that point on, we heard the funny name Abinadab. Abinadab and his sons went and rescued it, put it into their little house, and one of his sons was charged with taking care of it, guarding it in storage. So like the Ark, then, for the people of Israel, in some ways God was sort of in storage, forgotten. Until David came along, gathering some 30,000 Israelites to take the Ark to Jerusalem so that once again God could be seen as and remembered as the center of their lives. And there, as they moved the Ark, they joined a great procession of worship, as the scriptures say, dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and castanets. Now, as the confirmands were getting ready to come in, walk in the service, they wouldn't take my challenge. I said, you know, this is it. We got to dance in. Yeah, you didn't do it, did it? Yeah, didn't fall for it. Okay. Suppose you wouldn't like an hour of praise before worship starts either. We do things differently, right? And that's part of the point as we gather as people of faith in different places and different expressions. Here, David becoming king marks a new beginning for God's people. This is a celebration. There is praise, and the praise is not because their past has been so wonderful. Their praise is not because their future is going to be perfect, though I'm sure that they would hope for that. Their praise is because they are remembering that God has always been faithful. God's presence is with them and has always been with them. God has always been at the center of their lives, even when they have forgotten God. And at this moment in history, David is helping the people to remember that. And so it's time for them to give praise to God. It's time for them to forget about themselves for a moment and focus on God. Today is Reformation Sunday, and in many ways we do celebrate this day because it is also a moment in history, nearly 500 years ago, when something new was happening. But that something new wasn't that God was doing something new. It wasn't that God was doing anything different. And also, it's not a day that we celebrate because there was a new king like David being inaugurated or raised up. Though sometimes, quite honestly, Lutherans do tend to treat Martin Luther as if he were a king. That's not what this day is about. The Reformation was a new beginning because people were remembering a promise of grace, which means a new beginning. This grace is a new beginning for each and every one of us every day. A promise that God will be at the center. And that promise looks like a crucified Savior, dying at the center of history, being raised again from the dead for the reconciliation of all. It's an ongoing movement for us all to forget about ourselves and focus on God. And it all starts with our praise. As we praise, we are drawn into God's presence. But I don't know if you've ever thought about what praise is or what praise looks like in your life, but it certainly looks different for us all. But one thing I do think is that praise does begin here. It begins in worship with Sabbath, setting a time and a place apart to even just for a moment forget about ourselves and put God at the center. If you have been able to worship in a variety of faith traditions, like the youth group that I talked about at the beginning, worshiping at an AME congregation, you know how vastly different praise can be. Praise can look in worship. Some of you might love the idea of gathering for an hour of praise before worship begins. I don't know. But I suspect that many of you may not necessarily love that idea, and you may show up conveniently an hour late for worship if you knew that were going to happen. The interesting thing is that for myself, I know that I have found that when I go and worship in many different faith traditions or different styles of worship with their praise, I have found myself praising God. So that if I were to worship in a more Pentecostal or charismatic tradition with a lot of the praise and a lot of energy, I can find an opportunity to be able to praise God. If I am worshiping in a place where there's high mass with incense and bells and bowing, I can find an opportunity to be able to praise God. Or if I'm in a non-denominational worship where the sermon is going to go on, I know this, for about 40 or 45 minutes, I can find myself praising God. I'm not going to go on for 40 or 45 minutes, by the way. That's another thing I won't do here. But in all of these, no matter how different our praise or worship looks, these are all ways where we can forget about ourselves, even just for a brief moment, and keep God as our center. The important thing isn't if a very specific type of worship fits our needs or satisfies us. The important thing is giving this intentional effort in offering our praise. Not to prove anything to God or to anyone else, but just to forget ourselves and remember God. But worship is only the beginning of our praise. The praise that happens in worship, the praise that happens here, belongs to that center that then informs the rest of our lives, each moment, each day, each place where we may find ourselves. So what does that praise look like? for each one of us, just like every style of worship, every place of worship, it may look differently. So in your lives, it will look different, whatever this praise may look like. Maybe it means taking a moment every day to give thanks to God for what God has done in your life. Or maybe it means living with compassion so that you look for opportunities each day to serve another. Or remembering all that God has done for us. That's one of the reasons that we do practice sharing highs and lows, to help us think about those highs, think about where God has been noticeably present in our lives. Maybe it means laughing or crying with someone in pain. Whatever it may look like, it will be different for each of us. For you, confirmands, this is what we pray for you, Rachel and Danny and Asher, that today, as you are acknowledging and affirming your faith, you're acknowledging and affirming God as the center of your lives, that same faith into which you were baptized. And I pray that this isn't something just for today in worship, just something that we all go through the motions, because it's really easy to do that, right? Many of us will admit, as you know, you've probably already experienced, maybe we're doing something like the Lord's Prayer or the Creed or something like that, and we catch ourselves maybe sometimes just going through the motions and not thinking about what we're doing or saying. That's natural. That's something that happens to all of us. But we pray that you hear the words, the promises for each of you today as you are confirmed by God's Spirit. And you remember them for each and every day of your life. The thing is, when you can't remember them, when maybe you forget, or you forget your focus on God, or you're not able to forget about yourself. You know, the things that are really worrying you seem to be more important at the moment. Guess what? You're not alone. Because we all do that too. And we're all here gathered to be able to support you and to be able to celebrate this moment of you affirming the faith into which you were baptized. We're all gathered here to say, we're going to continue to support you. Maybe when you don't forget about yourselves, or maybe when we're not able to put God at the center of our lives. So my challenge, not just for the three of you, but for all of us, we don't often give challenges in sermons, but I would love for each one of us to be thinking this week about how we will praise God each and every day. What is one thing that you could do to offer your praise of God? And maybe it's not going to be leaping and dancing like David did. Maybe it's not going to be this, singing each and every day. But maybe it will look like giving thanks every day. Maybe it will look like taking up the Bible and reading one scripture a day. Or praying, or making a commitment to pray. Each and every one of us, our praise will look different. We may not dance like David. We may not be able to lead an entire church in reforming like Martin Luther. But I pray that we may all be able to remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that we can keep that always at the center of our lives. Because what's really important here is that faith is not, I think, what leads us to praise. But praise is what leads us to faith. Praise is a faith catalyst. Keeping God, helping us to forget ourselves and keep God at the center of our lives, who promises to hold us each and every day. Amen.